Okay, this is Chris Emmanuel of MMA UK, and I'm here today with Michael Two Guns Yunis. Thank you for joining me tonight, especially when you're weightcutting.
Of course, you know, it's a pleasure, Chris. Just for you, I'm here late night answering questions during the weightcut.
Anyone who's, well, not living under a rock will know that you're fighting on Cage Warriors 109 this weekend at the what's it called now? The Resorts World Arena.
Resorts World. Yeah, they keep changing the name of the bloody place every couple of years.
It's the NEC to me.
It's the NEC. That's it, exactly.
And you're fighting against the dangerous Mick Stanton as well.
Yeah.
Middleweight. So, I've got a load of great questions for you. So I'm just going to reel them all off. We'll start off with, so are you going to win though? Do I get free tickets? What time's your fight on? And have you got an after party?
All questions I love being asked by. Fantastic stuff. Okay, now, you know, it's a little bit of an ongoing inside joke amongst the MMA community at the minute. You get asked so much. Daftest, most stupidest thing by casual fans. And you know what? You get asked this stuff by your brother, your sister, your mum, your dad. And you're looking at them and, you know, your dad will ask you, and you want to say, Dad, can you fuck off? But, you know, it's your old man, so you can't say it. Do you know what I mean? So, it gets frustrating at times, man. It gets frustrating.
I can believe that. And especially in the week before your fight as well. So, and how many people do you reckon they could be calling you tomorrow to see if you've got any tickets left?
It's started already, and they're calling me tonight. I'm going to meet him tomorrow. I had a dude tell me, "Oh yeah, I'll meet you on Saturday, and I'll give you the money for the." I'm like, dude, like, you know, we've got e-ticket links now. Just go online, leave me alone. You know, one of the best things that Cage Warriors did was give those e-ticket links to the fighters. But it's a really weird thing because you'd think that in this digital age that we're in, people would just get the bloody ticket online, but people still want you to come to them, and they want a physical hard copy of this ticket in front of them, handed to you by them, you know what I mean? So handed to them by you, rather, and it takes a lot of time out of your day, man. The biggest ball ache going up, leading up to a fight, I shit you not, is dealing with tickets.
I can imagine. That's it. It always makes me chuckle when I speak to my fighters and the frustration. You can just see it as well. Their face just goes.
Yeah.
So talking about your fighting career then, so I've known you for a few years now. I've watched you. Well, I'm going to be honest. I've watched you shrink as a man. When I first met you, you were a heavyweight. Now you're fighting a middleweight. Okay, so the first real question is, how the hell does someone of your size get down to middleweight? Because you are massive.
I am, but you know what? A lot of hard work. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you this now. This time around has been the easiest of all the times I've been at middleweight. I'm working with a nutritionist at the moment. His name is Ryan Bristow, and the man is a godsend. He's referred to me by Dan Cassell. I mean, after what had happened in my last fight, I mean, we'll probably touch on that in a bit. But there were a few things that I felt I needed to change and needed to fix. And my nutrition and weight cut was one of them. Do you know what I mean? Because I was cutting a lot of weight to make middleweight for all those fights. Mm-hmm. Just was unhealthy and wasn't getting the optimal performance from myself. Now I'm doing it in a much more healthy way via nutrition first and foremost. And then we get those last couple of pounds off with a sauna or a hot bath. And I feel fantastic. I never normally feel this good at this point from a fight. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised looking at you. You know, you can see it actually in your face. You're still healthy.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and I woke up, believe it or not, I'm not going to give away my exact weight, but I woke up today in the 80s. Remember, I'm weighing at 84 now. I woke up today in the 80s. You know what I mean? So that doesn't happen to me. I'm normally waking up in the, you know, the 90s. Seriously.
spending all night in a bike on a sweatsuit.
I shit you not. Day of the weigh-in, I'm sometimes cutting from 91, 92.
Down to 84.
Down to 84, mate. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So, okay, well, as you touched on it then, we'll talk about that, your last fight. It was, obviously, you just run through people previously. And then he came up against Thomas Robertson. You know, Thomas is saying, he'd just come off of a title loss actually to James Webb. You know, now obviously you know, you're a more experienced guy, but in terms of cage experience, you haven't got anywhere near as much as him. He was 7-2 at the time. You were 2-0. The thought process behind taking that fight in the first place, was it something that you looked at as a catapult for your career? Or,
I mean, to be fair, I was at that fight when he fought James Webb. And I thought, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to Thomas Robertson and James Webb, both great guys, both excellent competitors. But I watched that fight and I looked and I thought, both of these guys look very beatable. Like, in my heart and in my head, I'm like, I can beat these guys now, you know? So, you know, I was going through a bit of a rough patch where nobody was taking any fights with me. And the guys who were accepting the fights were having medical issues. It was just like the universe was making it so that I couldn't fight. And, you know, I'd basically been in camp from the January all the way through, every month being told, I'm going to fight, cutting weight, pullouts, you know, no show, you know, due to medical issues, whatever it was. And I got offered the fight on the, you know, at the Hammersmith Apollo, massive card. And it was against Thomas Robertson. I thought, wow, look at my luck. I'm fighting the guy who's just fought for the title. I know I can beat this kid. Wicked. Yeah, I'll do it. So, you know, whatever his record was didn't matter to me. I just looked and I thought, it's someone I can beat. And it's a huge feather in my cap. But it just didn't go my way. And, you know, it didn't go my way for a couple of reasons, really. One of them was I was just knackered. And when I say that, I mean physically fatigued from all the work I'd been doing from January up to June. You know, I mean, I was meant to fight on a card. I think it was about 3 weeks before that one. And there was a pullout, unfortunately, due to a medical issue by my opponent. And I'd taken the fight. I was like, yeah, shit. So I'd cut weight 3 weeks before, straight back into camp, cut weight again. And I just felt terrible. And that's not to take anything away from Thomas Robertson, because the guy's a great competitor, one of the best guys I've ever fought in terms of his experience and what he's achieved and his skill level. But even after I'd lost that fight, I came away thinking, shit, I know I can beat that kid. I know I can beat that kid. You know, and that loss was a blessing in disguise, really. It allowed me to sit down. It gave me time for introspection. I looked really, you know, carefully at myself and said, hey, Mike, okay, what were you doing leading up to this fight? And what it allowed me to do was kind of nitpick and realize there were a few things that I kind of knew subconsciously were wrong during my camp. But I didn't think they were going to affect me the way in which they did. And then after the loss, I realized, hey, Mike, these things did affect you. Look, you took an L. And I don't mind taking an L. You know, all the great fighters, guys I had ever looked up to, took L's, you know, from boxing through to MMA, you know. But it really allowed me to kick back. Sit first and foremost, I took some rest, you know, and my body needed rest. My body and my mind needed rest. Had some rest, then finally got back into training. I just started enjoying my training again because it became a job, it became a chore, you know. So, yeah, like I said, man, I'm actually, it might sound really, really strange, but I'm kind of glad I took that loss because it made me have to change things I needed to change early rather than later on down the line. Do you know what I mean?
Excellent. That's a fair comment. You do hear that from fighters. Fighters who are able to have that introspection as well, because not everyone can. So is there anything that you can reveal that you've changed up without actually giving away anything about what you're doing?
A couple of things. I mean, I was really overtrained leading up to that fight. I was just thinking more was better. And I should know better than that because I'm an experienced guy. I've been doing this a while. You know, I was pretty much doing 3 sessions a day. 6 days a week.
Wow.
And at my age, you can't do that. You know, I was pushing myself to the limit. I wasn't really sleeping. I was like, sleep when you're dead. And it was like, well, my 3 sessions a day with no sleep, you're going to be dead. Yeah. You know what I mean? it's funnily enough, I said this the other day. I was mentioning this to somebody in another interview. Funnily enough, I took the advice of Matthias Frederick. After his fight with James Webb, you know, and Natty's actually older than me, you know, and I'm 30, I'm going to be 36 on Boxing Day.
Still and a young man,
Natty is five. Yeah. You know, I'm telling everybody I'm 28 for the last 7 or 8 years, mate.
Bro, I've been telling them for that for the last 13 years.
So, Natty went five rounds with a very talented and tough James Webb. Mm. And after the fight, Natty looked like he could do three more rounds.
Mm. He's like, a specimen, Natty, that guy.
And I went up to him and said, Natty, tell me something. How on earth did you get in such good shape? And he literally just turned to me and he said, Mike, and this is the way he speaks.
I've met him.
Mike, yeah. He says, Mike, train less, sleep more. And that was it. And I was like, I'm waiting for this magic formula. I was like, is that what I got to do? And I tell you what, I've toned down the amount of training I'm doing and I'm sleeping more. I'm listening to my body. I'm sleeping. I'm genuinely trying to get 8 hours each day. And I tell you something, it has made a massive difference. Massive difference. That along with making sure my nutrition is correct with my my new nutritionist, I tell you something, it's made a massive, massive difference. Massive. The other thing I did was I went back to my grassroots. You know the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. One thing that I knew I had if all else failed in any of my fights was I was just a big, strong guy, you know? So I could kind of meathead a situation out if I needed to and grind out a win. And there was a situation when I was in that cage against Thomas Robertson, and we got into like a body clinch position. It was a 50-50, over and under. And normally from that position, in my head, I'm like, ha-ha, now I've got you, you know? And we got into the position, and I shit you not, I couldn't move the kid. Couldn't move him. And I remember in my head, a sudden moment of panic. And when I look back and I thought about it, I hadn't done any real strength training, you know, to really get strong, physically strong in here. All that muscle you see on me, you know, when people look at me, oh, it's a big guy. That's just how I look, you know. I'm not pumping any weights to look like that. So, and this is no disrespect to my strength and conditioning coach. I've said this multiple times. Chris Mee is a great coach, knows his stuff, very educated guy. But he had become a bit busy because he came out of semi-retirement and went back to fighting himself and started helping a lot more other athletes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my stuff, I was kind of taking his advice, but I felt like I just wasn't, maybe I wasn't implementing it correctly. Who knows? I just wasn't strong. Physically was not strong. So one of my biggest attributes just left me. It just wasn't there anymore. You know, if you can imagine a striker playing for Arsenal, one of the attributes he has is he's really fast. You know, he can sprint down towards the goal and all of a sudden he isn't fast anymore. It becomes, it's half useless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like that for me with my strength. So I went to a strength coach that I had used previously in the past, Mark Atkinson. A big shout out to Mark Red Hulk Atkinson, one of the strongest human beings you will ever, ever, ever lay eyes upon. The man is a behemoth. And he just brought it back to the grassroots. He was like, look, you know, do you want to balance on a medicine ball with a 2 kilogram dumbbell in your hand? Or do you want to get strong? And I was like, Mark, I just want to get strong. So that's what we did, you know, and we worked really hard. We've been grafting, you know, and I'm strong. I'm arguably the strongest I've ever been, honestly. Seriously. Wow. I feel like I'm stronger than I even was when I was a light heavyweight and heavyweight. Seriously.
Jeez. And obviously, I've seen you ragdoll those people on Golden Ticket where nope. you essentially made your name on Golden Ticket Fight Promotions. Obviously, your management company as well. So if you want to give a shout out to them, now's your opportunity.
Massive shout out to those guys, man. They work hard for me. I tell you what, Dan Cassell, Guy Mumford and Adrian Cassell, those guys do graft for me, you know. And sometimes a management team can be underappreciated, but I appreciate them dearly. I mean, even this week, we had a few hiccups that we were coming against leading up to the fight. And those guys, man, they pulled it out of the bag to get me the all clear for the fight, you know.
Excellent. So going into your fight then with Mick, obviously you've got the strength of the Eunice is back. And Mick being somebody who, you know, he's somebody who just doesn't step down from a fight at all. He, as I said beforehand, you know, he will take a shot just to give a shot and he doesn't care. So what are the fans expecting? Again, I'm not going to ask you stupid questions. Because another stupid question is, what's your game plan going into the fight? You got that, right? What do the fans
Going to see? Some people might not even realise this. Mick and I actually get on. He's a cool guy. Mm-hmm. But I want to congratulate him on the birth of his new little one, first and foremost. We've actually done some training together. We've sparred together. You know, like I said before, there's this unwritten rule. You can't talk about what happened in sparring. But the one thing I do know is the guy is a tough, tough, tough guy. He's a tough guy. Head like a breeze block. Hard to finish. And he's got a set of nuts the size of watermelons. Do you know what I mean? So I know that it's going to be a great, great, great fight. Do you know what I mean? And I'm a tough guy. He's a tough guy. We're both there to win. And I tell you what, it could be fight of the night. Shit you not, man. It could be fight of the night.
Yeah. Do you know what? It could. When I saw it, I thought, you see a fight, so you just naturally react to it. My reaction was...
Yeah. Yeah. It's this fight's been in the pipeline for a little while, believe it or not. When I was having trouble finding opponents, they approached Mick back in like February. I think it was February. And he couldn't take the fight at the time, and he messaged me like, "Look, they've offered me the fight. Give me a camp, and we can go." I was like, "Hey, thank you. Somebody wants to actually fight." Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting for the right time, the correct card for it to be on. We were trying to make it on Colchester, but it made no sense geographically. One guy from Brum, one guy from Liverpool. What are we doing in Colchester? And then once obviously the card in Liverpool came up, but I was like, no, you fought in Liverpool a couple of times already, Stano. Let's do this in Brum. He's like, cool. So we're getting on in Brum.
Excellent. So one other thing I want to ask you about as well, actually, because obviously looking back in your career, one thing which blighted you earlier on in your career was injuries. How did you overcome that? How have you? Because it's when you get older, it becomes far harder to deal with anything, even to recover.
I tell you something, mate. I haven't. you always get injured, but there's degrees of injuries, aren't there?
Exactly.
What really helped me is my relationship with Rosie Sexton. So obviously, Rosie Sexton is a Cage Warriors and UFC veteran who's now an osteopath. The woman's first and foremost super intelligent.
She's also a Green Party councillor as well, isn't she?
Exactly. She's an MP. She has a doctorate. She's an active osteopath. I mean, I don't know what this woman cannot do. When I speak to her, I feel stupid. I feel like I'm speaking to a higher being. But she has really, really, really helped me out with my injuries, man. She really, I think it was it last year? Yeah, last year. So last year, I injured my back, herniated the disc between a C6 and a C7. It was resting on a nerve. It caused my left arm to go numb. The doctors told me I'd never fight again. Literally told me, you're done. Consider coaching.
Wow.
And my management team, again, shout out to Golden Ticket. What they did was they turned and they said, that we know someone that can maybe help. I was very skeptical because I'd seen other people before and they didn't do jack shit. But I tell you something, man, Rosie changed my life. I see her every week now. I see her every week. She's one of my sponsors down at Combat Sports Clinic. So big shout out to Rosie for all her help and everything she's done for me, particularly in this camp. One of the unsung heroes of the fight game right now.
Now, you said about you feel like you're not intelligent when you're talking to her. Obviously, social media is a very big thing for you. And it should be a very big thing for most fighters, but most fighters just don't get it. They don't realise that you've got to put yourself out there. Now, you're not just prolific on social media, you are deliberately inflammatory, but not in the way that a lot of fighters are. You always put up something which someone will immediately take a contrary view to. How the hell do you stay calm? Because bear in mind, you've got 4,900 friends on Facebook, right? How do you stay calm at some of the nonsense that comes back at you, certainly coming up to Fight Camp?
Believe it or not, sometimes I'm not. I'm screaming at my phone saying, what the fuck are you talking about?
So am I when I'm reading some of the comments on your thread.
But you do, if you understand that not everybody is going to think the same way as you do, you will save yourself elevated stress levels, gray hairs, and cardiac disease. I'll tell you that now. But in regards to my social media, I try to engage people. And it all started, you know, when I used to get injured quite a bit. And I needed to keep people interested in me. Like, if you're not fighting, no one gives a shit. Fans are very fickle. Very much, yeah. And I needed to keep people caring about me. And I had to do it in a way where people wouldn't think I was a bastard. Mm-hmm. They might think I'm a bastard still, but not a bigger bastard as I could be. You know what I mean?
We all agree, so I'm on your team, man. Yeah. We've got exactly the same morals and stuff.
Yeah. So I had to think of subject matters, and I'm very much, I'll just be going throughout my day. I'm very observant, and I watch things. I look at human behavior. I read a lot. I watch the news now and then. And then something will come in my head, and I'll put it up on social media, which I know is going to invoke emotion and get a response from people, which will engage. And if you look, I mean, people are like, "Oh, you're on Facebook every day, dude." And I'm like, "I'm not." It may seem like that, but what it is I may put up a thread that will keep people engaged for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah,
you know. And then it keeps rolling over, and I'll respond to certain things. And I try to give my views. I can't sometimes give all of my views because Facebook likes to ban me for 30 days. I try to be as open and honest as I can be on those things, you know, without offending people.
Well, one thing you have done this week, actually, you've been very calm. I did like your thread asking about music, so 90s R&B albums. Did you get a decent set of responses?
I did, man. I've been listening to Jaheim. I love Jaheim. So still ghetto classics. Who else was I listening to? Carl Thomas. This is some classic Carl Thomas, man. Yeah, man. Some Carl Thomas from the Bad Boy days. I tried to put on I put on Keisha Cole, right? And her music sounded really good. Like, I was like, oh, on the surface. And I thought, let me listen to this woman's lyrics. I was like, fucking no. This woman needs to go on holiday or something. She needs to brighten up her life. I'm like, shit, this thing is fucked. But her music does sound good. I tried to listen to Usher Confessions today, and I almost swerved my car into a wall in sheer depression.
Yeah, I can get that.
You know what I mean? I was like, Mike, I was like, I gotta turn this shit off. it was funny because one of my cousins said, Mike, you know, you want to listen to R&B when your opponent's listening to death metal with a picture of your face on the wall while it's throwing darts at him. I was like, look, man, you have to understand, I can't go through a 10-week adrenaline rush, you know? There was a time where I have to wind down, man, I have to just chill out and just rest my mind and just relax, you know? The fight's the fight. The fight is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you just need to get chilled and relaxed, man. You know, unless you're going to bottle it, which I'm not, you know, you're going to fight, you know?
Well, speaking of music then, now your little brother, Gorilla.
Yes.
Okay.
AKA Gorilla. So his name was actually originally Gorilla Sawnoff, but we had to tone it down because people were like, Gorilla whom? Gorilla what? You know, well, so...
2 years ago, you posted up his single "Kill Switch." Now I had a quick look on because I've got that on my like songs now off the back of your recommendation.
Okay.
So I had a quick look on Spotify to the number of listens, 12,099 listens so far. I reckon I'm probably about 10% of that because it's one of my running tracks. Is he going to be walking you out? What's happening with him now?
You know, my brother's. Typically, he's in my corner, so he will be in my corner coming this fight. He'll be helping with my weight cut on Friday as well. What little of it there will be to do, he'll be helping with. It's always good to have my brother in my corner. You know, it's a funny one because people look and go, well, I don't see your brother in the gym doing any MMA. He's not in my corner for that purpose. The guys that are in my corner for that purpose are Tom Breeze and Fabian Edwards. Mm-hmm. Those guys are the corner team who give me the technical advice. The person who's in my corner to lift my spirits, keep me confident, and, you know, if he sees any kind of faltering in my eyes to slap me awake and say, Mike, what are you doing? Is my brother, you know? Only my brothers can do that for me. And You know, when you're hearing the person in my in the corner shouting out, "Breathe, Brit," that's my brother.
Okay.
You know, telling me, relax, breathe. You know, when it's time for me to after the you know after a round has gone and I stand up and I'm looking at my corner man and the person who's looking directly in my face and keeps me calm, that's my brother. You know, the person who helps me pray before my fight, that's my brother. You know, there's no one else that can do that for me. So he's an integral part of my corner team. And in fact, he was missing from my last fight. He couldn't make it. And I'm telling you, psychologically, it did a number on me. Do you know what I mean? I have my brother there. So, but we've rectified that. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen again.
So are we going to see a musical collaboration between the Eunice brothers?
There has been actually in the past.
Okay.
I used to rap when I was younger, you know.
Has that been released?
I was half decent. It was actually on one of his mixtapes. I'll send it over to you. It's not too shabby, mate. I got some skills.
Okay, let's see.
I got some skills. I'll send it over to you. You know. But in regards to my brother's music, you know, he's this as the new year comes in, he's going to be stepping up a bit. There's a few things in the pipeline. He's working with a few producers. He's going to have a new PR company working with him, and his stuff should be become more readily commercially available. So, you know, big things for his future. I'm excited about what's in store for him.
Excellent. And when it is, make sure you send me over the link because I need to add 100%. To my playlist.
100%.
Well, we've been going for 27 minutes and I'm deeply appreciative of that, especially considering how far this is into your pre-fight preparation. So, Mike,
no problem, bro. It's been
I'm
a pleasure.
Say right now, this is your opportunity to give a shout out to the sponsors you haven't spoken about yet. I know you've got probably about 50, so
I've got so many. First and foremost, if I forget you, please don't take offense by it. I just want to thank my most recent sponsor, Krios. It's a networking platform. You know, we're in a day and age now where people prefer to work for themselves or, you know, choose their hours of work. And if you're a freelancer in any kind of different field, you can go onto this platform, www.krios.io. You know, you can update your profile on there and there'll be people who want to hire freelancers who will hire you from that website. So it's really, really handy. And they also have their own cryptocurrency as well, which is doing pretty well. So I want to give a big shout out to them over there. I want a big shout out to Green Hill, who have been looking after me, man, you know, for a few months now. And I'll tell you something. I'm not just saying this. I'm not just plugging their goods because they're sponsoring me. It is genuinely some of the best and highest quality gear I've ever used. Green Hill really do look after me in that department. There's a whole bunch of other guys, you know, Combat Sports Clinic, like I said, Rosie. I want to thank the guys down at Renegade Jiu Jitsu for always looking after me, and Emporium Health and Fitness. They always look after me down there. Warren Dyson, the world famous Emporium Health and Fitness. You know, there's a few other sponsors that escape my mind right now. And they always escape my mind whenever anybody asks me about my sponsors. But they know who they are, and they know I appreciate the work they do for me.
Excellent. Mike, thank you so, so much for your time today. Good luck on Saturday. For everybody, Cage Warriors 109, Michael Two Guns Eunice versus Mick Stanton. Make sure you're there. Make sure you watch it. If you're not there in person, you can watch it on UFC Fight Pass. You know.
Yeah, exactly. There's
no excuse not to watch it. I'll certainly be watching it as well. And I cannot wait to see you perform again, sir.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes.